Welcome to the Emmanuel Baptist Church Podcast. We pray that the sermon you're about to hear would be useful as you grow in your love for God and your love for His church. Now, here's today's sermon.
Amen. Thank you, Josh. Thank you, band. Amen. Well, we are ending Colossians today, and yes, I actually think if you remember last week, we read through a lot of verses there, all the greetings, greet so-and-so, and say hi to this person, and I said I wanted to wait until next week to get to the very last verse, and so here we are. We have went 20 weeks through the book of Colossians now. I just want to acknowledge that. Maybe that makes you cringe and uncomfortable, but I think that's something to celebrate. We have walked through now, after today, every verse in the book of Colossians and seen the gospel through it all, and today is no different. We are going to see the gospel in Colossians 4, verse 18. And so, one verse, but one verse nonetheless. Would you stand with me as I read the text that we will be looking at today? This is what the Word of God says. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Amen. You guys can be seated. That is the Word of God. It might seem so small, mundane, and why did we have to stand for that? Well, that is inspired by the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts, just like any of the other verses are. And I really do pray and believe that it will do exactly that, speak to us. And not just speak to us, but show us the gospel. We have a Lord and Savior who has risen. He has saved us. And as we put our faith in Him, we have eternal life in Him because what He did on the cross. And so I think today, those final words that we just read of Paul's, I write this greeting with my own hand, remember my chains, grace be with you. I think if we look deep into this text, Paul's final words to the Colossians and to us through the book of Colossians, they strengthen the reader. Those words, I think, were meant to strengthen the Colossians, and they can strengthen you and I in our resolve as we trust in Christ today. I think back to, this is a ridiculous story, but I promise I'm going somewhere with it. My dad was my middle school basketball coach, and I told Sarah this story actually this morning, and the first thing she said is, who gave him that position? And so he was a crazy coach. I'll just say that. He was a crazy coach. Well, I remember this one particular game. How could I ever forget it? And we were down to like 10 seconds left in the game, and we were tied. So it was one of those kind of buzzer beater type, are we going to get it, or are we going to lose, are we going to win? It was down to the very last second, and we had a throw-in, okay? And so my dad called a timeout, had one left, brings us in. And this is like 7th or 8th grade boys, okay? So he calls us all together, we get together, and I had my friend Daniel, and I were on the same team, and he pulls us in, and he says, okay, guys, we're doing gopher today. And we knew exactly what that meant. We had practiced it once in one of our practices, and we were like, no, please, please not gopher. Let me tell you what gopher was. Gopher was our last-ditch effort to try to make something happen to get 1 point, okay, or 2 points. I know basketball, I promise. And so we have a throw-in. He says, we're doing gopher. Daniel, you know what you're doing. And Daniel, I can tell, he's like, his heart's starting to race, and he was nervous because Daniel knew in the gopher play, Daniel was supposed to, when we break, we go, break, I sound like I'm playing, talking about football. When we leave the timeout and we go back out on the court, Daniel wasn't to go where the ball was going to be at. Daniel was to go to where the other team was, but he was still on the court, right, but right next to the team. And he was supposed to get down on all fours and start barking at them like crazy. I mean, just like a madman barking at the other team. And that would give us time to throw the ball in, go, and shoot. That was gopher. I don't know who gave my dad that position to be coach, but That was Gopher. And I remember Daniel was saying, please, coach, no. I thought that was a joke. I didn't think we'd ever have to do Gopher. Please, I don't want to do this. My parents are here. And I mean, it's just a horrific thing. It's so embarrassing. And I remember my dad saying, Daniel, you can do it. You can do it. Just don't worry about what they're thinking. Just you can do it, Daniel. He really needed like a pep talk for what he was about to do and just humiliate himself. And you know what? Daniel went and did it. And I don't remember if we won because of it or not. But Daniel, I remember Daniel did it. How could I forget Daniel on all fours barking at the other team? But to do such a very difficult job, he needed a pep talk. And believe it or not, I actually, that comes to mind when I think about this text. Paul writes this extremely difficult letter. Colossians 4, made up of four chapters, and the book of Colossians, made up of four chapters, and it is filled with difficult commands, hard things to believe. He mentions the reality of pain and suffering that is sure to come. This is a hard book to swallow in certain areas, and at the very end, Paul doesn't just give a pep talk saying, you can do this, buddy. He does so much more than that. That's where the story doesn't quite line up. He does so much more than a quick pep talk. You can do this. He says, grace is going to be with you. God's grace is with you. Having just read all that, what you're called to do, all these things, God's grace is with you. Remember my chains. And so Colossians 4:18 is really meant, I think, to encourage and to strengthen us to go out and to live out what the book of Colossians has called us to do and to believe. It's called to strengthen, or it is to strengthen and encourage us. So what does Paul intend to strengthen us for in the book of Colossians, chapter 4, verse 18? How is he trying to strengthen us? Well, I think two ways. He's trying to give us strength for and give the Colossian church strength for hard times, firstly. If you go back to the text, it says, I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. And that's so easy, isn't it? Just to be like, okay, that's just an ending. Isaac, don't make anything greater out of it than is really there. Well, I don't think I am. I think he is giving strength to the Colossian church and to us for hard times. Notice this. The same exact hand that writes this greeting, that wrote that book, all the glorious truths in it, the same hand that wrote everything about the gospel of a God that saves sinners, he says, was also shackled in chains. I write this with my own hand. Remember my shackles. Remember my chains. I think Paul's intent here is to tell us that with shackled hands, with the pain and suffering in our lives, with the reality of hurt, he was not unable to write the glorious truths of a good God, even with shackled hands. With shackled hands, Paul was able to write multiple things. I want to go back through the book now and just reminisce all the glorious truths that Paul wrote, now knowing that he did it with shackled hands. Shackled hands in jail, knowing he would be persecuted and killed from the end of the imprisonment, and he's writing with shackled hands these glorious truths. He writes that God has triumphed for his people. Look at Colossians 1:13 with me. He has delivered us. Paul wrote that with shackles. He has delivered us. Paul, what are you talking about? He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us from the kingdom of his blessed Son. That's what Paul writes. He has triumphed for his people. He also writes in Colossians 2, verse 15, God, he has disarmed the rulers and authorities. And Paul is in a prison. And he says, God has disarmed those authorities. He's disarmed them. Put them to open shame. Like, Paul, you're the one in shackles. Yeah, and God has put them to open shame. He has triumphed over them in Christ. Just think about what Paul is saying in Colossians 4:18 when he says, I wrote all of that with my shackles on. Not only has God triumphed for his people, but he, Paul, has personal reason to celebrate because of that. If you go to Colossians 1:24, you might remember he says, now I rejoice in my suffering for your sake. Maybe that gives context that Paul was rejoicing in his suffering. It gives context to read the very last verse that he was in shackles, in chains, waiting to be executed. He had reason to celebrate. And in fact, not only was he able to celebrate, but the Colossians also should be able to celebrate, he says. In Colossians 1:12, let's look at that. He tells them to give thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Now that gives reason. Now we can know, okay, why is Paul able to celebrate? Why is he writing such truths about God, how he's a good God that loves, and he has reason to celebrate? This is why. Colossians 1:12, it says, because we're able to give thanks to God because he has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints. He has something to look forward to, a hope, a glorious hope to look forward to. And so though he's writing in chains, he's writing with joy. And so should the Colossians, he says, give thanks. And he also says in Colossians 2:7, not only to give thanks, but overflowing with thanks. He says, continue to live in him, that is Christ, being rooted and built up in him, established in faith, just as you were taught, and overflowing with gratitude. This comes from a man in chains. He wrote that with his own hand. Colossians 3:16, we can keep going. Not only should you give thanks and overflow in thanks, but that will show in singing with thanksgiving. He says in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. Paul wrote this greeting with his own hand. Don't forget that he was in chains. Paul's example here in Colossians 4:18 teaches us that even in the midst of suffering, God's goodness doesn't go away. Even in the midst of chains, God's goodness didn't go away. Even in the midst of our suffering, God's goodness doesn't go away. The chains didn't keep Paul from being able to celebrate and give thanksgiving to God, overflowing with gratitude. The chains didn't enable him to be able to give thanks. And I think what this teaches us, just think about this, this teaches us something that goes in complete opposition to probably one of the greatest speed bumps for people in faith. And that's the problem of evil, right? This reality that Colossians 4:18 teaches us, that our shackles or our pain and our suffering doesn't keep us from being able to celebrate, that confronts the greatest barrier of faith for so many people. How could a good God exist if there is still pain and suffering in the world, you might ask? How could a good God be real given my suffering? Well, look at Paul. Paul had suffering, and he still believed in and trusted in and told everyone about a good God. Paul suffered. He definitely suffered. But he also wrote this letter about praising God in the midst of that suffering. And he was able to because of the present hope that he had, the inheritance of the saints that he clung on to in the midst of that physical condition that he was in. You see, Colossians 4:18 teaches us that there is no amount of pain that you face, have faced, that can steal your reason for joy. There's no amount of pain that could steal your joy in Christ. Think about a man in Springfield a couple years back whenever I was pastoring there, and he and his wife had 8-year-old twins, and she just went for a checkup and found out that she had cancer, terminal cancer. They were a young couple, very young couple, 8-year-old twins, and she had about a year to live. You find that news out. Your husband finds that news out. Your kiddos find that news out. It's like your life is just, it's so young. It's just starting off in many ways. And she's like, Okay, I've got 365 days, approximately, give or take. And it did. It happened. They were praying for healing, but she ended up passing away around that time. And her husband, Bronson, I was just so struck the whole way through of how he was handling it, both while she was digressing in the cancer, but then also after she passed away, how he was handling it, just knowing that there's a good God that still exists, just as he did before that first appointment with the doctor. The God that loved them then still loves them now, and the God that was good then is still good now, and he handled it just knowing and trusting in the goodness of God all through it. It was just such an incredible testimony to Sarah and I, and we just watched that. We said, wow, this man knows. He knows the gospel because he's just handling it with such grace. In a recent post that he posted, Sarah and I were looking at, he says, I can't forgive God because there's nothing to forgive. He's done me no wrong. And he's raising his 10-year-old twins. I can't forgive God because he's done nothing wrong to me. He's a good God. He loves me. He has a good plan for me. Everything that happens in my life, he will bring good out of. I don't deserve anything but bad, so anything that does happen that's good, that is a blessing. Not deserved. I want us to apply this truth from Colossians 4:18 that shackles, suffering, and pain, they don't make a good God impossible to believe in. No. It just makes it that much more joyful in the midst of the pain and suffering that we have a good God to cling on to the hope that he promises us on the other side of this pain and suffering. So I want us to apply this to your life now. If you are walking with Christ, and only you know that, if you are walking with Christ today, and you can relate to the shackles that Paul was in your own way, your own suffering, your own pain, if you can relate to that and you're walking with Christ, hear me, God has triumphed for you on the cross. That's what he went into Jerusalem for some 2,000 years ago, to triumph for you on the cross, and he succeeded. Therefore, whatever comes your way, there is always reason to praise with gratitude and sing with thanksgiving. There is always reason, no matter what comes your way, because God has triumphed for you. There's a gospel, the very last verse of the book of Colossians. I love this quote from the Valley of Vision. It's a book of prayer that I often read with you all on Wednesday nights. It says, whatever cross I am required to bear, let me see him carrying a heavier. Whatever cross I am required to bear, whatever shackles, so to speak, I am required to wear, let me always see him carrying a heavier one. Tighter shackles. Even in the worst of pains that you may face, whether it be present pains or past pains or future pains, whatever pains you might have, even the worst of them all, you are able to rejoice. I don't want to minimize at all your pain that you might be feeling, but I want to exalt the joy that you get to have in the midst of that pain because of Christ. No matter what the pain is that you are facing or will face, hear me, in Christ you are able to rejoice. He bore a greater pain for you to have a greater joy than the pain that you're feeling now. He bore a greater pain for you to have a greater joy. If you aren't, though, walking with Christ and you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, you might still be able to relate to the shackles that Paul was wearing in your own way. We all go through suffering, right? You might still be able to relate to the shackles of Paul, even if you aren't walking with Christ. But what I want to say to you is look at the example of Paul. Look at his shackles, but yet see his freedom, would you please? If you don't know Christ today and you can relate to the shackles Paul was wearing, look at his shackles, know his shackles, and look at the freedom that he wrote about nonetheless. Think about Paul's suffering. And if we fast forward from when he wrote Colossians, he actually was executed for faith. So he certainly faced persecution. He knows suffering, as you know suffering. But look at the suffering that he had, and yet the rejoicing he was still able to do because of the hope that he believed in. Look at his life situation, would you? And what maybe you would say a reason for him to die. And look at how he talks about, no, I have reason to live. If you don't know Christ today, but you can relate to Paul's shackles, would you look at Paul's example and know that this is available? This is available to those whose life is centered around Christ. As you put your faith in Christ, no matter what suffering you face, you have reason for joy and celebration and gladness, no matter what happens. You have reason to rejoice because there is a hope, an inheritance with the saints that you can look forward to. And only Christ gives such an eternal hope. So that's what I think Colossians 4 strengthens the Colossians for, and it strengthens you and I for. It strengthens us for hard times. He says, I wrote this greeting with my own hands. Remember my chains. And so that was supposed to strengthen the Colossians and us in the midst of hard times. When hard times come, when those shackles come, would remember, Paul was still able to write Colossians. That gives us strength for hard times. Secondly, though, Colossians 4:18, I think, gives us strength for holy living. Follow with me here. I promise I'm not crazy. If you go back to the text, the last few words, he says, grace be with you. Grace be with you. And I want us to notice, Paul's ending to the letter is very similar to the way that he started the letter at the very beginning. If we go to Colossians 1, verse 2, it says, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. That's what he starts the letter with, grace to you. And now he finishes the very last words of the whole book, and he says, grace be with you. Grace to you, grace be with you. I think that this is communicating here what these two verses sandwiching everything in the middle, these two verses sandwiching it all, I think what that communicates to us is that God gives grace to us to understand what we're about to read, to be able to comprehend what is in the book. Paul wanted to start the letter of Colossians saying, grace to you. God's grace to you. And so that as you read through this book, you'd be able to see what you need to see, comprehend what you need to comprehend. Would God open your eyes to be able to see the glorious truths in it? Would grace be to you as you read this letter? And then whenever they finish the letter, would grace go with you to be able to live out what you just read? To be able to internalize the truths that are in it, to be able to remember them and live them out in faith, believe in them. He says, grace to you as you read this. Would God's grace pour over you? You'd be able to read it and understand it. There's some incredible truths that I'm about to write about. And at the very end, he says, would God's grace now be with you as you go and live them out? This shows us that we are only able to do the things that are in the book of Colossians because God's grace. What is in that book we cannot do if it wasn't for God's grace in our life. We must all realize, and this is really hard sometimes, a pill to swallow, but we need to swallow this pill that we, you and I, are utterly depraved. And that just means we are sinners to the core of who we are naturally. We are utterly depraved and unable in and of ourselves to do good without God's grace. We can't. You can't do good without God's grace in your life enabling you. The Holy Spirit bringing about holiness. We're depraved. Not just kind of bad. Not just kind of needing a life raft from God. You and I are sinners to the core. We need God's grace to do anything other than bad. God's enabling and strengthening grace. I love this quote from Paul Washer. It says, "Never in my life has God been glorified the way that God ought to be glorified. I have never, for a single moment, loved God the way he ought to be loved." We need God's grace. And we need to realize how utterly depraved and sinful we are in and of ourselves without God's enabling grace. It's not only true for Paul, it's true for you and I. Without God's strength, we are unable to believe in the work of God, to trust in that. The Holy Spirit comes into us to enable us to believe and trust. We are unable to give our lives to Christ without the Holy Spirit enabling us to. We are unable to live holy lives, to be the people he calls us to be without the Holy Spirit enabling us. We need God's grace in our life. So let's not think too highly of ourselves. We desperately need God's grace. And so when we see the expectations of the book in Colossians, this is what I want to look at really quickly. Knowing God's grace is now going with us, what were we commanded throughout the book of Colossians that we need God's grace to go with us now to go and do? Let's, again, reminisce, if we will, just for a few minutes. And as we do, would we think about without God's grace, we're in a lot of trouble because we can't do any of it. We need God's grace to go with us after just reading what we were just called to do. A few things here. Colossians 1, 22. He says, "He has reconciled you in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless." Verse 23, "if indeed you continue in faith." So he has died for you in order to present you holy and blameless. That is what Christ does. But that is contingent upon him making you holy and blameless. It's contingent upon, it's based upon, if you continue in faith. Well, let me tell you, without God's grace in my life, every morning I would wake up a sinner not trusting in Jesus. But because of God's grace, I wake up and I continue in faith. We can't do what that text says right there. You can't do that without God's grace going with you. You can't. You can't. But with God's grace going with you, you can. You can continue in faith. Colossians 2, verse 8. He says then, "to see to it that no one takes you captive. Not only would you continue in faith, but would you reject all other messages. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophies and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world." Those things aren't according to Christ. And he says, "see to it that no one takes you captive." And I read that, and I just think, man, I need God's grace with me, God, because I am so easily swayed by lies of this world. My heart is naturally drawn waywardly if it isn't for your grace pulling me back. God, I need your grace to go with me to do that. So not only to continue in faith and to reject other messages, but also to live in obedience to him. There's some hard commands. If you look at Colossians 3, verse 5, he says, "put to death," if you remember this, this was a fun week, "put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry." We need God's grace to go with us to be able to put those things to death. Colossians 1:10, this is very vague but very hard to do. "Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord." Did you know that? The Bible, Colossians, calls you to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Can I ask you, how well would you do that on your own? Me too. Would God's grace go with us to strengthen us? Colossians 3:18, verse 19. "Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love." And if you remember this week, that love, that's hard too. Husbands, love your wives. We need God's grace to go with us to be able to do these things. So Paul ends the book saying, the grace of God be with you. May we be strengthened by God's grace to go with us, to be able to do all the book has called us to do. We need his grace. God's grace strengthens us every day to remain in faith, to withstand the lies that the world sells us, and to live holy lives. And so one question for you as I wrap up. Just one. Do you need strength today? Do you need strength to live out your faith? There's only one well of faith that we just sang about. Only one that I know. Would you draw strength from the well that is God as he pours out his grace on you and he graciously strengthens you to be able to do what you are called to do in this life? He not only gives you the grace to understand and comprehend what is in the book, but he gives you the strength as you go to live it out. So if you need faith, and you say, help my unbelief, if you need faith, he graces us with it. If you need purity, and you're fighting that fight, he graces you with it. If you need patience, love, gentleness, kindness, hear me, he graces you with it. He graciously gives it. Not only, though, you might need strength for holy living, but maybe you need strength for hard times. I want to encourage you to learn from the example of Paul, to find refuge in God as he did. Christ has already conquered it. He has already defeated it. He has disarmed it. He took away the sting of death. No matter what those shackles are, you can rejoice when you're in Christ. He promises an inheritance greater than the pain that you're currently facing, and he strengthens us to have joy, gratitude, and thanksgiving, to sing all the while in shackles. So find strength for holy living and find strength in hard times in Christ. And if you have never put your faith in Christ, if you have never put your life in God's hands, I encourage you, please, today is the day you ought to do that. Come and pray with me, talk with me, or in your seat. Don't leave this room without finding the strength that you need for today and all the days to come, to find him who gives you a hope that endures you over anything. That's in Christ. Don't leave this room without that, without him. Come to the God of strength, the God of grace. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for your grace. I thank you, Lord, for Paul's example, that through him, God, you taught us that even in shackles, we can praise you. Would you give us, God, the strength to be able to do that today? Would you give us the strength to trust in you, even in hard times, and know that you are good? Lord, for the individual here today that is wrestling with whether or not they can put their faith in you, Lord, would you just penetrate their heart right now, that this prayer they would know is specifically for them, that today is the day that they wouldn't just leave today thinking, yeah, I'll just do it another day. God, would you just penetrate their hearts? Would you speak to them and say, no, today is that day. My grace is for you. God, would you meet them in this room and impress it on their hearts, your love for them and your desire for them to walk with you? I pray for them. God, would you pray with, would you just speak to them right now? And be with us, Lord, as we give thanks to you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you stand?
Thanks for listening to today's sermon. If you live in or near Bethany, Missouri, we invite you to join us for our worship services held on Sunday morning and Sunday evenings, as well as our various activities on Wednesday nights. For more information on how you can get involved, visit our website at bethanyibc.com.